morning, everyone. It's Friday. Get out your movie listings. Karina Longworth and Rafer Guzman are here champing at the bit to tell you what to look for this weekend. Also, we've been talking about the Joe Wilson controversy. It's not going away, and it certainly isn't going away in your calls to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're keeping the lines open. Why do you think it's still such a hot topic? Is Jimmy Carter stoking the racial flames here? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Right now, Femi Okay has a check on today's top news stories.
Thank you very much. Almost 12 minutes to the top of the hour. Wall Street's top watchdog is clamping down with two new moves. The Securities and Exchange Commission proposes strong rules for credit rating agencies. The SEC also wants a ban on flash orders. Now, that's a complicated explanation, but basically flash orders give certain powerful traders a split-second advantage over regular investors. One of Ted Kennedy's last wishes is one step closer to reality. The Massachusetts House has approved a bill allowing the state's governor to appoint someone to fill Kennedy's Senate seat. Kennedy asked for this in his final days, and the state Senate takes up the bill this afternoon. In Iran, opposition protesters are defying a government ban on demonstrations. Dozens came out today to challenge a much larger pro-government rally in Tehran. A number of opposition protesters are now under arrest. NATO's chief says that Russia should join it in building a missile defense system against Iran and other rogue states. This comes a day after President Obama scrapped plans for a shield based in Eastern Europe. And finally, it's the end of an era for the CBS soap opera Guiding Light. The final episode goes out today. After 72 years, the soap is winding up. Now, it first began on radio back in 1937, moved to TV in 1952. So I know, what are you wondering? How is it going to end? The show's...
No, I don't care.
Some people do care. The producers say that it will end happily. All people who should be together will be together.
Well, that's good.
And that's a look at your news.
Sounds
for
a
now.
Little kinky there, actually. Thank you, Femi.
You're welcome.
Very good. All right.
Let's go out to dinner and see a movie. Let's go out to dinner and see a movie.
You got dinner and movie plans tonight. It's Friday. So take a look at the weekend movie options and especially maybe the choice options. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, our friend, and Karina Longworth, our buddy and editor of Spout Blog, Daily Film and Culture Blog. Good morning, Rafer and Karina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to start right off the bat with a trivia question. Don't have to answer it now, all right? Think about it. We'll try to get an answer from you by the end, all right?
All right.
Who is the radio DJ voice of the Spike Lee movie Do the Right Thing, and who is the radio DJ voice of the Quentin Tarantino movie Reservoir Dogs? Think about it. We'll come back for an answer at the end of the segment. So, Rafer, the movies that you're looking at this weekend seem to be very unlikely plots for a movie. First of all,
that's true. Well, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how some of the best releases of the fall looked like they were going to be the kids' movies. And I think so far, in terms of wide releases this week, that's true. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, I actually thought was probably the most entertaining film of this weekend.
Really? And you liked it? Let's listen to a clip.
Well, those cheeseburgers were only the beginning because a breakfast system is on its way to Swallow Falls. My forecast? Sunny. Side up.
This is an animated film based on a children's book, which I could not imagine as a movie when I read it to my kids.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they take some liberties and sort of flesh out the plot as they'd have to. I mean, the book is not that long. So they introduce a character named Flint Lockwood. It's played by Bill Hader. And he is the town wacky inventor who decides to try to save the town's economy by creating a machine that will turn cloud moisture into food, essentially. And there's also another really nice character named Sam Sparks, who's the perky weather girl that we just heard. That's Anna Faris.
Now, The Informant, based on the Kurt Eichenwald movie The Informant, which is about price fixing of grain and high fructose corn syrup. That doesn't sound like a thriller to me, but does it work?
Well, they're packaging it as a comedy. You know, it's Steven Soderbergh is the director. Matt Damon stars as the informant, Mark Whitaker. And I think, you know, we've seen these movies before, most particularly with The Insider, I think it was, with
sure.
Russell Crowe.
Yep,
so the comedy
and
aspect,
worked.
And that worked, right. But the comedy aspect here is supposed to be, I think, the new angle.
Here, let's listen to a clip.
What if a company gave an executive, you know, a corporate car, and instead of driving that to work, he drove his personal car and he gave the company car to his daughter?
That's it?
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. What if It was standard practice at ADM for executives to regularly accept kickbacks in cash.
Now, there weren't a lot of yucks in the Kurt Eichenwald movie, The Informant, about ADM's problems with kickbacks.
Right, the book, you mean, the Kurt Eichenwald book. Yeah, well, really, the only thing that I think is actually comedic here is the score by Marvin Hamlisch, who's a veteran film composer. He did The Sting, and he did Woody Allen's Bananas.
Sure.
So the score is very quaint and funny. It's a lot of flutes and brass and kazoos. But that's not really a replacement for actual jokes. And the film itself is kind of your typical sort of brainy Steven Soderbergh movie.
But you liked it?
I wasn't crazy about it.
Wasn't crazy about it, but Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, that was a love.
I liked that, yeah.
All right. Karina, you got some very different offerings for us this weekend.
Yeah, there are actually two films directed by women that are coming out this weekend. One is Bright Star, which is Jane Campion's return to the period romance. It's about
she did The Piano, and right,
yeah,
she's very familiar.
Yeah, it's about a love affair that the poet John Keats had towards the end of his life, doomed romance, and everything that you'd expect from Jane Campion, the sort of flowery visuals and poetic language and swooning.
And this is what is the name of it again?
Bright Star.
Bright Star. All right, here is a clip from Bright Star.
I was wondering this morning if you're sleeping in my bed.
Pardon?
You see, I believe you are. We rented Mr. Brown's half the house this summer while you were journeying in Scotland. Which room do you sleep in?
The one overlooking the back garden.
That was my bed.
How does this differ from some of the other recent period romance movies that have been so successful?
Well, Bright Star, I think that it actually has a chance of appealing to the Twilight demographic.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Because it focuses on kind of a strong woman and her romance with a very frail, pale, artsy young man.
They would love it if the Twilight demographic showed up for this movie, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And the marketing is definitely heading towards that way, but not quite as goth.
Mm-hmm. So they stay away from the necks. There's no blood, but it's definitely
but
about
it's definitely
period.
Tragic.
Definitely tragic. All right, Jennifer's Body. That's a sort of feminist redux of the horror genre.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely blood in it. Although I don't know how feminist you can really call a film in which it cruxes on the fact that they mistake the heroine for a virgin when she's actually very much not. But it's about a high school hottie who is improperly sacrificed by an evil rock band, and this ignites a bloodlust in her for the flesh of teenage boys.
And what did you think?
I'm not crazy about it in terms of the way it's executed. I think the director, Karen Kusama, sometimes doesn't know how to get from scene to scene, so she just inserts footage of Megan Fox walking in slow motion to a hard rock score.
Mm-hmm.
But I think conceptually it's really interesting.
Jennifer Aniston is in a movie. The tragic Jennifer Aniston is in a movie this weekend. Any thoughts on that?
Love Happens with Aaron Eckhart.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a romantic drama for once. She's been doing mostly comedies lately, it seems. But I saw this movie and it was quite literally one cliche after another. He's a troubled self-help author. She's a florist, I believe. And it starts off with Aaron Eckhart taking lemons and making lemonade. And then he goes on to walk across hot coals. He sets a caged bird free. He holds a candle of the darkness. He actually does all these things in the film. It was really kind of horrifying in its way.
Horrifying in its way. All right. Well, the references to all these movies will be on our website, thetakeaway.org. Let's get to the trivia question. Does anybody know the DJ voice from Do the Right Thing?
I do.
Yep.
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Nice. Anybody know the DJ voice from Reservoir Dogs?
I do not.
Comedian from Boston?
I can't remember.
Steve Wright. Steve Wright. All right. Thanks, guys. That was fun. Last week, I asked Ray for the question, who's the Oscar-winning director who also has his face on a lunchbox? He got it without even a pause. Can you get it, Karina?
No, I'm
Ron Howard.
Oh, that makes sense.
On the Happy Days lunchbox. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, and Karina Longworth, editor of Spout Blog, daily film and culture blog. Go out and have dinner and a movie tonight, won't you? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, that's the weekend ahead. Looking back on the past week, we struck a nerve when we asked why the Joe Wilson controversy isn't going away. Many of you kept calling, so we're opening the lines back up so you can have your say, too. Why do you think it's still such a hot topic? Jimmy Carter is keeping this alive. It's not just the media. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And I'm solo today, but starting next Monday, and this is really exciting, I'll be joined permanently by Celeste Headlee, my new co-host. You may remember she joined me a few weeks back.
Can you get the 60 votes that you need? Can you bring a Republican into the fold, or your two moderates in your independents? Can you get the votes that you need?
Is that voice familiar to you? Well, it's sure going to be starting next week. She's joining next week on Monday. We welcome Celeste and her son Grant to the Takeaway family. Join the Takeaway family, won't you, at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Take our podcast to go. Go get one of the podcasts from the week that Celeste filled in. You'll get a kind of a preview. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.